Welcome back to The Life Hustle. Thank you for tuning in and thank you for all the amazing feedback on the last few episodes. Today we have something very close to our hearts and something very topical at the moment. It's a community initiative helping reduce plastic use and recycle more. So these incredible ladies, Madeline Murray and Tara Shine, are with us in studio today. Welcome, ladies.
Hi.
So I stumbled across your page on Instagram, which is amazing for finding informative things like this. You know, sometimes it can be all a bit fluffy and fashion and beauty. And I think we're a little bit over that now.
I think we are, yeah.
Yeah. And I just love finding informative pages like yourself. And I was absolutely blown away by your contact,
you know,
or
I think
your
it
content.
Is, I think it's when you're educated by something. I am really, maybe it's the mammy in me now, but I love to find something where it makes you stop and go, I can do this. This will make a difference in my house. And therefore,
make
you
a better person.
Yes.
So it's the page is Plastic Free Consale. And they also have Change by Degree, which is another page where you can talk about that in a while. So Madeline, you are an archaeologist. You're currently studying a diploma in UX design, which I had to Google, but it was mind-blowing, absolutely incredible. You're a very successful entrepreneur and, very importantly, a busy mom of four boys.
That's
like,
right.
Wow. That's amazing. And then we have Dr. Tara Shine, an environmental scientist with over 20 years' experience, a policy advisor for no other than Mary Robinson Foundation, and a climate negotiator for more than 10 years in the UN.
And you know what? That's only a drop in the ocean.
Like, again, wow.
But we just had a chat here and there's so many other things. It's incredible the work that you do. And I don't think, like, having seen your Instagram, you have an amazing use of, as we were saying, using social media for social good. And your videos really connect. They're short, they're informative, and you are the epitome of using social media for social good.
100%. I love even just spaghetti bolognese. I'm going to make it tonight. Let's break down what you can recycle and what you can put in your, you know, which bins to use. And that's really simple and it really hits home for people, you know. So
well, the spaghetti bolognese video was like the first video we ever made, and we came back after a Pilates class and we said, let's just bloody do this dinner. This is one of a household dinner in Ireland, and we gave our phone to Tara's kid.
No
and
way.
We stood up and we went through all the packaging, and what is it, 250,000 views later,
That's
we
amazing.
Knew we were onto something. And it's just that it stirred the pot. It threw up so many questions and exposed all the misinformation and miscommunication around what was recyclable, what wasn't. It showed all the confusion. So we knew we were onto something.
It's a great idea. Because in our house, like, for a while, my husband would give out to me that I wasn't recycling enough. And I wasn't reading the back of packets. So I was putting anything that felt or looked like plastic into the rubbish. Mm. And it wasn't until I saw your page that I realised, hang on, soft plastics can't be recycled, a lot of them. And it influenced where I shop a little bit. Mm. Like, I stopped spending so much money in one certain huge retailer where everything that's plastic around their vegetable, fruit, says that not currently recycled. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is a disgrace that there's so much plastic in my bin that I can't recycle. It's just crazy. So it made me go to the market or, you know, pick things up individually a bit more. And that little change, I think, we're creatures of habit, I think. Mm-hmm. And we're all, you know, this is how I'm doing it for years now. Oh, God, a bit of change now is a bit scary. But you're making it very easy for people. And it should be. It should be second nature.
One of our kind of hashtags is convenient sustainability. So we believe that until it's as convenient to do something sustainable. So you just picked up a reusable cup to drink your coffee out of. So that's just a new habit. You formed that habit now. The habit of disposable cups is really new. That didn't exist when I was a kid, and I was born in, 1972?
True.
Right, it was not normal for people to walk around up and down the street sipping out of a plastic cup. My dad thinks they're like baby cups. He's like, sorry, anybody would drink out of one of those. You know, so it's a relatively new habit. So it's just breaking it and making it convenient. Like, same thing with picking up loose fruit and vegetables or loose bread rolls in the shop. You just have to create a new habit, which is to have little cotton bags inside your shopping bags.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Once you have those inside your shopping bags and they just live there, then it is no more or less convenient than picking
second nature.
You know, six apples wrapped in plastic on a plastic tray. So, and I think that's what we want to do. We want to help people to make it easier for them. Some parts of being sustainable cost you money, you know, okay. to be honest. But there are lots of other things that don't, and there are those things are accessible to everybody, and they are a way for everybody to start to feel good and feel they're doing the right thing and be part of the conversation, which I think is really important.
Incredible. Can I just take it back to how we met and how we started all of this?
So we're both from Kinsale. We're blow-ins, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm from Mullingar originally and Tara's from Kilkenny, but we both sea swim. And one day after a gorgeous swim around Sandy Cove Island, just outside Kinsale, like, I came to Tara up on the slip and I just asked her a really simple question that had been driving me crazy. Why is there no green team for me? Because my eldest was on the green team at school. So he was learning great things about sustainability and recycling and all that stuff. But in my case, there was no shared learning. He wasn't coming home with any information.
Okay.
is that a reflection of my parenting?
No,
no. Communication skills. But anyway, and I... And, you know, we always say this, he's not the decision maker. He was 11. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the decision maker.
Yes.
I pay all the bills and I'm cooking the dinners.
And it should come from the top down.
And maybe. I just wanted to know what to do. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea where to start. And I knew Tara worked in this space and we very quickly knew that we could do something together. So we sat down, we had a coffee and we organised a focus group in Kinsale with all these women who work, and we invited them out to my house and we did a pile of activities and we brainstormed sustainability topics for Kinsale town. Wow. And really quickly they were demanding action, weren't they?
Oh my goodness, the weight of expectation was on our shoulders that next morning. We're like, what have we done? We're like, we can't just walk away from this now.
Yeah.
But what are we going to do, you know? And that led us to set up Plastic Free Kinsale, yeah. because one of the things that everybody got most animated about that night was the whole coming home from the supermarket, unpacking the shopping, this mountain of plastic that you yes. never asked for, sitting on the counter and then not knowing what the hell to do with it all.
Yes, okay.
And so Plastic Free Kinsale was born out of that expectation of these women and this frustration. And what's been really fun with that is obviously we live in this amazing community that just is ready to get on board with new ideas. Mm-hmm. But we very consciously worked through what was already there. So we didn't set up a new committee. We didn't set up a new organisation. We said, where are people already volunteering our time?
Yeah.
We
are
so time poor, yeah. both of us. Okay. We're like, we can't create another thing that people have to mm-hmm. go to, another WhatsApp group that they have to, like, we're dying by WhatsApp group.
Yeah. So I'm not in that zone yet.
Yeah,
oh, exactly. God,
oh yeah, it's ahead of you. It's just like end of the day and you sit down and you have, like, you know, 99 messages yeah. to do with your children, you know. Yeah. So we said let's work through what's already there. So we worked through the schools, through the businesses, and had the support of the Chamber of Business and Tourism, through the clubs and societies.
You make that
really
sound
important.
So easy. Did you actually go and knock on doors? Yeah, like yeah. you took your own free time and said, "We're yeah. passionate about this. Yeah. Let's get out and pound the pavement."
So yeah, we're
good
not,
on you.
We very quickly were like, "Okay, this is how we'll approach schools. This is what we'll say to business. This is how we connect with clubs." And
we had three asks for each one.
Yeah,
so really simple.
Yeah, yeah. I think three that makes simple a big things. Difference.
And then yeah. And it was our free time. And mm-hmm. it was just a question of, I would just say to people, like, if you are annoyed by something, just actually get up and do something about it. Like,
yes.
Ring somebody about it, talk to somebody about it. They're just doing something about it. You immediately feel more empowered and in control of the situation rather than, oh, that's a really big annoying problem.
That's so such an incredible
getting started
point.
Is really important.
But I think we're in a culture where people will go online and rant.
Mm.
But what change, it's great to put things out there and have open discussions about things, but what difference are you really making? And I love the idea of, you know, even put the phone down for a sec and go out and try and do something.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Meet someone for a coffee. So you're taking what you've done online into real life
yeah,
and you're
yeah.
making something, you're having a positive impact as a result.
And you'll meet like-minded people along the way. So, for example, the tennis club in Kinsale is a really good example. There is a great committee in there and they developed a green committee and they run this huge tennis open every year and they've hundreds of people from all over Munster attending and it became a green tennis open.
Brilliant. Wow.
Just off the back of these people saying, right, let's take action. Let's just change up what we do with all our food waste. Let's actually sell water at extortionate prices in bottles so they have to bring a water
Brilliant.
Bottle instead.
Brilliant.
You know, let's
simple solutions.
Yeah, let's recycle. Let's get everything as right as we can. You know, nobody's perfect and we constantly say this to everybody we connect with. It's impossible to get it all. We're not zero waste. We don't live zero waste lives. We're just doing our best,
yeah.
you know.
And if, imagine if we could all do that.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's an attitude of, sure, like, what difference am I going to make? Mm. But, like, if everybody has that attitude, we're in serious trouble. Whereas if you flip it and everybody makes the little changes. Mm. Like, I found my parents were so clueless about recycling. Yes. And, like, I saw my mum one day just pop soft plastic into the recycling bin. And I was like, Mum, you can't recycle them. And she genuinely had no idea. Yeah. Mm. She just thought
And that's
plastic.
Not her fault, because you used to be able to. You know, yes. And that's the problem, yeah. is that it changes and we need to help people come up. Mm-hmm. But then you'll probably find your mum is really brilliant. You know, she's probably really frugal with food. She probably doesn't yes. throw yeah. food out. She's probably really good at managing her leftovers yeah. and she's probably all over her freezer. Yeah. And, you yeah. know, so this, you tend, I think that's really interesting to look at what the different generations yeah. are good mm-hmm. at. So, you know, the kids are great at using technology to be more sustainable. The older generation have this inbuilt frugality, they just won't waste stuff, you mm-hmm. know. And if we all were a little bit like that and learned that from them, then that's helpful too. So yeah.
And there's a lovely adage like efficiency first. That's actually the best way to get things started. So whatever about reducing electricity uses and everything, just like turn the lights off, like, don't have stuff on all the time. Just efficiency first is a really nice way to approach yeah. things, and in regard to food waste, or, you know, do you need to use the car all the time? If you could walk, would Brilliant. You just do mm-hmm. that instead? Brilliant. Just for one journey a week.
And I find once you make little changes, like I started getting the bus about a year ago, three or four times a week instead of bringing the car, and it saved on my pocket huge. Yeah. It has given me time to catch up online and do the admin-y stuff and the stuff on my phone, catching up with people that I would have been dipping in and out of all day when I had the kids or when I was at work. And so it's just put that time aside for me, and I walk more, which I didn't do before. And it's just like little changes, I think, can make they can have other positive impacts as well.
Like the walking is a prime example. So we have the statistic that we use all the time. 20 minutes in the fresh air outdoors every day improves your mood. Yeah. Right, so you're a nicer mother, you're a nicer work colleague, you'll be calmer, you'll be more patient with your kid when they cry, when you pick them up from creche, or, you know, that pinch point in the day where it's just like everybody's tired. You'll be better able to cope because you'll just have had this moment of, you know, breathing the fresh air and being outdoors, and it just is really, really good for you. And if it means that you're getting a bit of exercise and you're not putting carbon into the atmosphere all at the same time, like, it's a triple win.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
There's a quote from Greta Thunberg at the UN Climate Summit this week. "You have stolen my dreams and my childhood." I presume we've all listened to it. Yeah. It was so powerful and passionate, wasn't it? Like, coming from a 16-year-old, like, it is amazing that the next generation are so passionate about it. And I think it just completely overlooked us for so long, whereas they're now making awareness for us and teaching us that we need to actually buck up.
She say, shame on you, you know, shame on us. Like, I don't know, I've been working on this, and I have worked really hard on this for like I haven't been, you know, just lying around doing nothing. I've been working hard on climate change for over 20 years. And you kind of, you know, my kids would have said this to me even, you know, a couple of years ago. But if you were doing a good job in it, Mum, it'd be fixed.
Oh,
wow.
Like the out of the mouth of babes, right? So so those of us who've been working on it, we haven't done a good enough job. We have not managed to communicate it. Greta took the science that a whole lot of grown up men and women negotiated under this IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, in that speech. And she broke it down into three paragraphs of straight talking, easy to understand language. That's where we've been
failing.
And
that's why it's gone viral.
That's why we've been failing. We have not communicated. And the other thing that unfortunately is a real reality for Greta's generation and those that are younger is the fact that we will be gone. They will live with what's left, what we do. They will live with the consequences of our action or our inaction. And they're not stupid. They know that. But I feel bad that it is a kid having to stand up and shock and awe everybody into action. That should be a leader of a country. It should be a grown-up. It should be.
A generation.
And shame on all of us grown-ups that we've let it go to this point that a 16-year-old has to point out the absolute obvious to us.
So why do you think there is this mass denial amongst certain cultures, certain age groups, certain parts of the world. It, like, the one thing that really struck me was that I went on Twitter mm-hmm. when Greta did that speech about an hour later, and there was, you know, people, incredible people retweeting it. She'd obviously reached out mm-hmm. and touched so many people in different parts of the world, and they were all retweeting it. But there was a huge amount of trolling, and really, it actually made me really sad on Twitter to see some very well-known people make comments like, you know, that she was sensationalizing it. It just really uninformed trolling. But not from, you know, someone hiding behind their computer with a beer belly and, you know, a few cans of beer or something. Like, they were very well-known people. And Fox News had to make an official apology to her yesterday. So I just don't understand, like, is it that she's holding up a mirror and some people are in complete denial? Or, like, how can people
be so... fear of change. Okay. It's fear of change. So so fear is a really powerful emotion, as we've seen, like, what fear has... fueled in terms of how people vote and how politics of some big countries around us have changed. So people are really, really fearful of change. And so for some reason, human nature thinks that where we are right now and what I've created for myself and the status and power and money I have right now is the best it can be. Mm-hmm. And so my natural instinct is to protect it and hang on to it. So change makes me fearful.
But that's a short-sighted.
Change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. And our whole thing that we message through Change by Degrees is that change is better. So there's a report out today which shows that Ireland's air quality is poor. So we're not meeting WHO, World Health Organization guidelines for our air quality.
Wow.
And air quality means that it's now at the moment estimated that 1,100 people are dying prematurely because of poor air quality. Mm. And it's from our cars and burning solid fuels. So
it's man-made by us, like
it's fire. It's us. Yeah. It's us driving around, and it's us lighting fires. Largely for a lot of us, for luxury, not because it's actually the main form of heat in our house. And so, change to me is change is making our air cleaner, so our health is better, and it also happens to reduce carbon emissions, and it will also make it nicer to be outside and walking to work in an urban area because you won't be breathing in that stuff. So change can be good. Change will be good, I believe, but I think it's this fear of change is what makes those who are in power now react so badly and so negatively, because they think they're going to lose.
There's a fear behind it.
They think they're going to lose out if they jump with this, they go with this. And it's, you know, she didn't sensationalise a thing, Greta. She took the absolute science and she just put it in better words than the scientists can put it in. That's all she did.
And we hope with our messaging and any of the stuff that we generate that we speak similarly, that everything is plain English, it's understandable,
relatable.
We give manageable, actionable advice, that all our tips and hints can be taken on board without too much effort, because that plain language is badly needed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And some things are, you know, this is the thing too, some things are easy to do, like not buying any more cling film is something that's within pretty much everybody's grasp, unless you run a restaurant where it's a little bit trickier.
Okay.
It's harder to say what air travel can you cut down on in your life, right? Mm. Yeah, that is harder. That is harder. And so I think it's like, you know, getting that balance between saying, you know, being honest with yourself too around some of the things are easier to change, some are harder. Yeah. But get started. Don't let the big hard ones put you off from getting started with the other ones.
Steps.
You can get there over time.
And actually with Plastic Free Kinsale, we noticed that, and we keep saying this, that plastic is literally a gateway issue. So we started in Kinsale around plastic and upping recycling rates and just pushing out loads of information to raise awareness. And then I was at the side of a soccer pitch one weekend and a girl said to me, "Come here, I was thinking about my dishwasher and I'm actually only going to ever run it every second day now, blah, 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 blah." She was having this conversation with me because she knew I set up Plastic Free Kinsale. It wasn't a conversation about plastic. It was a conversation about energy saving.
Brilliant.
Another friend was like, "I'm going over to John's tonight. We're going to Google how to build a wormery." Wow. Okay. Let me know how you go. The point is that Plastic Free Kinsale has just, it was the perfect
It opens
nudge.
An awareness almost into everything
and
else.
And people feel really empowered to start finding more information. And they don't necessarily need to get it off myself and Tara. Like, we've started a great conversation and let them carry it.
Brilliant.
Into their own circles.
And I think it's a nice project for a family to take on, you know, with your kids. And, you know, it is, it's a fun and, you know, you're helping the environment and it is, I think it's
we
a nice
do reward charts for everything else.
Yeah, let's,
exactly.
So tell me then, how did this lead to Change by Degrees? I'm really interested in this whole concept as well.
So honestly, we were just being asked to the table quite a lot by semi-states, by individuals, people who own companies, community groups, and they just wanted our advice. They wanted to know what we thought. We always knew, as I said, from that very first coffee, that this was something we could work together on. And Change by Degrees was established very quickly as a social enterprise by us. So it's a for-profit social enterprise. So all our work is mission-driven, but we get paid to do the jobs we do.
Okay.
And we very quickly won a Social Entrepreneurs of Ireland Award.
Congratulations.
Which was excellent. Yeah.
That's incredible.
And that really put us on a track of learning how to set up a social enterprise. We got really good mentors that helped advise us around the nuts and bolts of running a business, because it's a business. And we've got a nice client base now, and we have a suite of services that we roll out to organisations and communities.
Does it feel really good to now be in business and do something that was your college, it was your job, and now it's like it's become your life as such?
Well, for me, it's like hilarious to go from being like a policy advisor to like a social entrepreneur. Doesn't that sound so much cooler? But I think it's very different, you know. A government hiring me to advise them on X or Y bit of policy is one thing, and it's kind of, you know, governments need that and they have a budget for that. For us now, we're working with businesses, we're working with community organizations that kind of know they want to do something in the sustainability space,
but they just don't know where to start.
But they don't know where to start, and they possibly haven't even got a budget. So this is a whole challenge to them, because you're kind of saying, well, you know, where does it fit in your organization? Who's going to take the lead? Is that you have a green team that need help? Is that this is part of what you want to do in your human resource management? Is it really part of your staff engagement? So even that for us has been interesting, figuring out where for organizations and businesses where the way in for us is. And that's been a massive learning curve. That's no different to anybody who started up a startup startup business. It's like a whole lot of learning really fast and a whole lot of trying everything you can and seeing what works. But I think what works there is again very similar to what works in Plastic Free Consale. It's about straight talking, about being honest, about keeping things simple, and making it fun. You know, just
do you create your own content, like videos?
So all our content is created. So we've had the sense now since the spaghetti bolognese video to actually hire a production company
and brush our hair.
We love that. So the education piece is fabulous for us, and it's where we do great work, because those 60-second videos or a workshop for a group of employees is so satisfying to do, because you know you're making real tangible impact straight away, and you can see all the people in the room in terms of a workshop, like literally having aha moments and whispering quietly to each other and hands up in the air.
That's brilliant.
Asking a million questions.
It's such relatable stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's stuff you do in your kitchen every day.
And I think it's what's powerful about that, and it's what's powerful for companies about that too, is you change your staff's behaviour at work, which is increasingly important for companies to be able to say that they're active on sustainability and they're informing and educating their staff on that. But then every staff member goes home and then they take that same knowledge and apply it in their house, or they apply it where they volunteer with the GAA or the soccer or
so
whoever,
like
on the weekend.
Ripple
so you create this ripple effect, just by educating your staff in your over a series of lunchtime, say in your office. Like, why wouldn't you? It's a great thing to do.
So with the client base you have now, like, what's your vision for Change by Degrees? Do you just want to expand that?
Yeah. What do we say? From the start, I guess our mission has been that we wanted to change the conversation on sustainability in Ireland first and then beyond. So in Ireland in particular, we felt we were really stuck in a rut of, it was like sustainability, or sustainability, do I have to? Or like, what's in it for me out of all that? So we wanted.
It seems like a job, an extra
like a
chore.
And it seemed like a chore, and
or
it
else
seemed
it's
boring.
Very, and we always say this as well, like, what colour is sustainability to you? So everyone's going to say green, or a lot of people think that, and the Green Party and all the green movement.
Okay.
And actually, sustainability to me is like this warm orange.
Okay.
And for me, it's like turquoisey blue.
Yeah.
So like, okay. You know, it's like kind of saying like sustainability is about our health and our well-being.
Our human rights.
Mm-hmm. It's about our human rights.
The environment.
It's about the environment. It's about the future of our children and how we balance how we live on the planet now with the opportunities we want them to have after we're gone. All of that is sustainability. That's a big conversation.
Yeah.
But that's a really interesting conversation. The future of work sits in that in conversation. Inclusion and diversity sits in that conversation.
Of course, yeah.
Equality fits in that conversation. So who's not interested in all of those things? And so for us, we want to change the conversation on sustainability in Ireland to be like, where do I start? I want to be part of this.
How do I make a change?
You know, you told me what to do about spaghetti bolognese. Give me the next thing to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I feel good about that. And it wasn't that hard. Give me another thing
to
do.
Take it to the next level.
Yeah. And that we have this conversation. So like, you know, Madeline getting asked about wormeries on the side of the soccer pitch. Like, this isn't a niche conversation anymore being had by a few people that you would label the greenies.
Yeah.
But rather, this is a conversation that's for everybody. And it's a cool conversation for everybody.
And
we actually
noticed that with clients as well as individuals, they could be doing something really sustainable at home or at work and not telling anyone about it because they're, again, afraid it's not perfect, especially in the corporate world.
Okay.
Because there's so much backlash, you know, if you're not perfect, why say it? And we are of the opinion that it's really important to start and share your learnings. So try something with us. Communicate that internally so that your staff understand it. Your staff are your biggest advocates, you know, and then move on, communicate it externally.
Being honest, I think, with ourselves and honest as organisations and kind of saying, yeah, right, we're not sitting here breathing right now, you're having an impact, right? So get over it. We're not going to have guilt about it. Jesus, we have enough guilt going on, right? So this is not a guilt thing. Again, so how do you take control of it? And taking control of it and being empowered to do something about it is a much better place to be in. And I think, you know, we also know that a lot of our followers in particular on Instagram are women. So they're women like us that are juggling work and kids quite often. And they're time poor. But they do want to feel that they're making a difference, and they do want to be part of this different conversation. And you know, all we want to do is try and keep growing that movement. Yeah,
absolutely. And I feel that we're the ones that are, in general, the ones who spend the money, who are in the supermarket or deciding on where to get our meat or whatever.
There's some crazy statistic about how much of the decisions are actually women based in Australia. What is it?
In Australia, 85% of the decisions that affect the carbon footprint of a household are taken by women.
No way.
Because women do quite often women choose the utility provider. So where you get your oil or your gas, pay for that, decide, remember to switch or not. That's often women. Women quite often even are buyers of cars, or at least
or
have a viewpoint on the car or the second car. The food, massive. The waste, everything to do with waste, apart from actually physically putting the bin out, it tends to be like I put the bin out. So they looked at it there. Now, I don't know if that's a study we should do in Ireland for what that breakdown would be, but I'm sure it's not dissimilar.
So the point is that all of that is that women have far more power than they realise.
Yeah.
And we love to tap into that. We want to talk to men as well. We want to talk to everybody. But the reality is that our follower base, especially online right now, is women, a lot of women. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Can I just ask about plastic bottles?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are they still allowed in shops? You know, why are
That's
we still allowed
question.
To buy them? I just don't see, you know, why is
there's
there
so
no?
much of them everywhere.
Like, I think it's about making it easy to fill up a water. So we all here, right, have reusable water bottles, right? So it's just knowing where can you fill it up. So I had to go to London last week on an airplane emitting carbon dioxide. But I noticed that in all the airports I was in on either end, because I actually had to do a thing in and out of Manchester. I went into Manchester, out of London, whatever.
Okay.
And all those airports now had both places at security where you could pour the water out of your reusable bottle.
Brilliant.
Like, I mean, how long did it take people to cop on that you needed to do that? And then right on the other side of security, fountains where you could refill your reusable Brilliant. Water bottle. Right, now they've so made it easy for me. So it's convenient sustainability, right? That's what we need. So now we need that around towns as well. So this is where refill.ie, run by a friend of ours called Barry, is doing. They're trying to create a map of all the places in Ireland, calls it a tap map, of all the places in Ireland where you can go and refill a bottle.
Genius.
So it could be in a cafe, but you can know walking into that cafe, they're not going to look at you weirdly because you've come in with a... and asked for them to fill up your bottle. Okay. They're going to say, yeah, happy to. We're part of
work. Brilliant.
He has a lovely little phrase. He said, you can ask for water without embarrassment or quibble.
Brilliant.
Just ask for water.
That's incredible.
The human right.
yeah. Like, you know. And then you're saving yourself. I don't even know what a bottle of water costs. $150
It's going to be over a euro anyway.
Yeah.
And it's just... So it's again, it's breaking a habit. It's breaking a habit. So in workplaces, this is really easily done. Just take the thing away, right? Take the bottles away and put in a water fountain. So spend the money and put in one with a nice filter, you know, when the plug's in and the water comes out nice and cold and it tastes good. And make sure everybody in the office has, loads of people are doing this and they're getting like a reusable bottle and they brand it even. So it's like a good marketing strategy as well. Everybody in the office has one. You don't need any more. And then I think it's a bit harder on the go because, I, you know, there have been times where I've been on the go and I have... forgotten my bottle.
Yes.
And now I'm completely stuck.
But do you, like, that happened to me recently and I went in to get a coffee in a centre somewhere and I had this like internal conversation of killing myself, like guilt of I can't believe you did this. And then I was like, hang on now a second, let's park this up a minute because a year ago I would have had three of these a day,
four of these
a day. So look, what's one that I forgot in the week? Like, and as you said, it's about the convenience of it. Like, I got this one from a place, Urban Printing Design in Ballincollig, and this keeps my tea or my coffee hot for 12 hours. So like those little things, I don't need to go and to the shop,
and you don't want
need
to lose your comfort. So there's nothing worse than a cold coffee.
Yeah,
so, like, get the one that keeps it warm and treat yourself and keep it.
And then keep it.
We always talk about this redefining value, you know, and what is valuable to you, and what really really matters, and just thinking carefully about. Like, I did this great shop online. Kinsale has this new initiative called Neighbourhood Food. You know the guy from...
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I love it. We had him, it's incredible. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, so Kinsale have now set that up. They have a Neighbourhood Food as well.
And is it every week kind of orders?
So I put in my first order and I can't explain the satisfaction I had laying out all the food on Friday evening when I brought it home on my counter.
And you know what I loved is when you go in to collect each week at all of the Neighbourhood Food pickup points, there is no packaging. So you have your boxes and you might have a paper bag or something, and you know your name is at each drop. So like, you know, if you've ordered veg from a certain farm, or you know, your bottles, you can bring your glass bottles back from Glowncross Dairy and you'll get a 50 cent back or something.
You will, yeah.
There's really lovely incentives.
And it was really interesting because as a result of me, I paid a little bit more for what I received. We ate every morsel. Mm. There was zero food waste.
That's lovely.
Yeah, but at the end of that. And I think it was really important for
my kids. Didn't your boys say that it looked beautiful?
Yeah, my lads came in, they're like, wow, Mum, it's so beautiful. And it was.
It's amazing, like, actually, yeah, because my friend Claire got carrots in the Carrick Lane Market last Thursday and she bought like double batch of them. And the lads got such a kick out of bringing the carrots in, you know, with the green at the end. And we made carrot soup. Yeah.
And they forget that actually that's what natural food looks like.
I know.
That's natural.
It should be growing it. It should be in our back garden.
My daughter was going into school today, really excited. She likes cooking, and they were going to make squash soup today from the squash that grew in the school garden.
Wow.
And this is how we need to educate our kids. This needs to be on the curriculum. They were going to pick the squash, and they had also grown garlic and some onions, and they were going to make a squash soup and garlic bread. Make it in school and
satisfying.
Eat it. And I mean, that's what I want our kids
And I'm sorry now, but they're the life skills that we should really have come out of school with. Mm-hmm. And
but again, this is a factor of being a busy mum, right? So my mum was not working when I came home in the afternoons from school, and she was there always cooking and baking, whatever. And I just, I learnt that stuff by osmosis from her.
Yeah.
Okay.
But my kids have a busy mum who's busy till 5:30 or 6:00, and then it's all frantic
trying to cook.
Yeah. And I'm not as patient about, you know,
showing
come and
them.
Help me, I show you, or I'm not making the diversity of things that my mum would have made. And so I think that's all the more reason to put it in to the school curriculum, because life has changed, and you know, we're not at home as women in the home mm-hmm. with all the time to do this as much as we had. So our kids are going to have to learn this another way because they True. Are critical life skills. Like kids need to go to university able to make a pot of soup.
Yeah. Yes.
Like at so a minimum.
Definitely. Yeah. I know.
Not eat pot noodles for their 4 years in college.
Coca noodles. I think I lived in them for about a year.
And as well, though, I think it's really important to remember that it was it's a gift for me to be able to buy off neighbourhood food on a Friday. But, you know, we should push so that there's no economic barrier mm-hmm. yes. to this kind of experience. I think that's really, really,
really
that's
important.
Point, you know,
because there is a great, I get wealth divide in the quality of food that people eat. And we have to make it so that everybody has access to the best food. But also, you know, in Kinsale, we have a fabulous market on a Wednesday morning. I never get there.
Okay.
Because I'm always at work on a Wednesday morning. So the neighbour food is clever because you order it online and you pick it up at the end of a working day.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but it also means that we quite often in our imperfect work are in the supermarket at 10 o'clock at night because that's how life is.
I know.
So I would like to have those same choices around quality food in our supermarkets too. And I think there's a growing movement. So, you know, this is where let your supermarket know if you're really annoyed by the amount of packaging or the fact that they don't have any local fruit and veg. Let them know that, because it's only if you actually utter those words out of your mouth and say it to them that they'll change anything. And that said, in person is so much stronger than and so much more influential than saying it in a ranty tweet that's kind of nobody in particular.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, if this stuff is either, if you're pleased or annoyed by something, let them know. They respond above all to what their customers want.
And that's such a great point. I didn't realise until, and we were saying this when Jack Ratty was in, that I didn't have the awareness to look at the blueberries I was picking up at a certain time of the year when you shouldn't really be able to get blueberries. Now I look to buy Irish all the time. Where is my fruit coming from? Or is it in the EU? Like, what kind of pesticides are used in it? And, you know, at least there's specific, you know, kind of guidelines around how you farm things within the EU. But if I'm buying something from South Africa, is that different? So it just made me really think about what I put in my trolley.
So I think that's one of the key things that we try to do all the time. We're trying to bridge this massive information gap. There's a dearth of information.
There's just no information.
Yeah. So,
or it's quite often there, but it's just so boring.
It's so boring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, we were looking at it and like it's just so dry and so impenetrable, and we were like, Jesus, we must be able to do better than that.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
So like when we try to create these hints and tips, it's to give that information because you've got all these well-meaning people who are like, you know, educated and you know, have a bit of money to spend, like. Governments and local politicians should do well to really pay attention to us more in that regard. And the information gap can be bridged with just exciting, fun, interesting pieces of information that we think we provide. And actually, just when you were talking about people scrolling, you know, when you scroll mindlessly, someone put up a lovely comment on, did you see that? On one of our channels going, if you want to scroll with meaning, check these girls out.
That's
actually really nice.
Exactly, that's so true.
Because, you know, you're kind of like, looking at a load of
and
crap.
And then, boom, and you learn something from your page.
Everything you click on, it's like, it's good information. Like, yeah. Really,
but, you know, and it's that, it's learning, it's the power of curiosity too. So, like, our kids do this. I have an 8-year-old who sometimes the amount of questions he asks me, it's like, I can't cope anymore. Like, please, just like 10 minutes off a question. But, you know, like that curiosity that kids have. So they will always ask why, where, you know, how. And I think if we ask that more, again, this is a time question. But if we could take the few minutes to say, now, why is that so cheap? You know, why am I able to get 4 punnets of that for a euro? That just doesn't make sense to me. Where is it coming from? Or, you know, you know, so just stopping and thinking, if it seems too good to be true, it's generally too good to be true. It really applies to fast fashion.
Yeah.
You know, so if you can buy a T-shirt for a euro, there's something going wrong.
And aren't they one of the main, isn't the fashion industry one of the main perpetrators of so much climate
emissions? Major source of pollution and climate emissions. But
and you know, growing up, I thought like cotton was a really good fabric to buy and to wear. But having read up recently about how cotton is farmed, it's full of toxins. It's really full of chemicals.
Choose organic cotton, yeah. And, you know, the most sustainable clothes you own are the ones you have in your wardrobe. So the whole thing is, don't keep buying stuff. And
I think people are eventually becoming a lot more aware
they
of
are.
That.
They are, especially the younger generations, actually. They've really cottoned onto it.
Yeah, and they have all these apps that they use to swap clothes. And we did a clothes swap in Madeline's house a while back. And the we had so much fun.
We did that a few years back in Europe. Yeah, we did it again, actually.
And you know what? Your clothes that you were sick of were like new clothes to me. Yeah. So we all went home with something lovely.
And Tara, you've that, because Tara just got a secondhand Nissan Leaf. And I think the hashtag new to me is really, really important in all of this. So what you're sick of is it's absolute gold to me.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, it's been sitting in you know, my wardrobe, and I was like, I don't even know what to put that with anymore. And someone else sees it and thinks, oh, I have a perfect top to put with that skirt. I'll take it and I'll wear it for possibly 3 years and then I'll fall out of love with it. But the skirt's probably still perfect.
Exactly.
And again, swap it to charity again, it can go on to somebody else. But the fun we had, you see, was the thing, really. The swap, you know, the laughing at each other, trying things on.
And everyone's really frank, you know, they're like, oh, that's desperate, take it
off. I think at our age now we're allowed to be like that.
The honesty. Girls, it was so, so amazing to meet you. We would just encourage everyone to get online to follow Plastic Free Kinsale and Change by Degrees if you want to bring this into your business or your workplace. It's just second nature. It should be second nature for us. And we just need a little bit of guidance, a little bit of education. And I love, love, love that you are convenience sustainability. So it should just be a way of life for us all, really. How can people reach out to you?
So we're on all the usual social media channels. So we've got a hyper engagement on Instagram where you found us. We're on Facebook. We have all our videos up on YouTube, and we have Change by Degrees website as well, where you get tons of information about all our services and what we can offer.
We're on Twitter, and we have even broken into the world of LinkedIn.
Wow. Branching out.
Just to be extra
good corporate space.
LinkedIn is really, it really works for people who want to find you. Companies and businesses that want to find you. Yeah, so everything has a different function, but it is a lot of work keeping up with it.
We do a lovely news roundup actually on the Sunday of every weekend on Change by Degrees on our Instagram stories, where we just take all the news that mattered in sustainability land and kind of condense them, give the top five stories that really resonated with us. So they're all highlighted, and like from January, we've done every single week bar two.
It's nearly killed us,
but it has been worth it. The interaction with people has been phenomenal around it.
So we never need to mindless scroll again.
No.
Sunday nights, it's like no more Glenroe feeling, no more mindless scrolling. That's amazing. Tara and Madeline, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And we really hope that we can get some people kind of thinking and having conversations and spread a little bit more awareness through this episode, because I've certainly walked away with some new information.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for joining us. So we hope you enjoyed that episode. Thank you so much to Tara and Madeline for joining us. If you are listening to this episode before October 12th, we are going to be doing a live podcast as part of the Cork Podcast Festival. It's going to be on Saturday, the 12th of October. It's at the Kino on Washington Street, and we are going to have the guests from our last episode at the Silly Heads with us. So it's all going to be about mental health and breaking stigma around mental health, and it's going to be really fun. So we are delighted to be part of it. Cork's Red FM are partners of the festival, so we're really, really looking forward to it. If you are around, it's a free event. The really fun thing is that we're going to do a little warm up beforehand of the Irish Examiner's famous agony aunt, the very saucy Ask Audrey. So there'll be a stand up of Ask Audrey, like a live agony aunt, and it's going to be really, really fun. That's at 12:30 in the day, and we are on stage at 1 then for about 45 minutes or so. How are you feeling about going live, Viv?
Oh my God, we can hide here in the studio, but there's no hiding that day, but it'll be really fun, and I hope you can all come along and join us.
Yeah, and it's such a good topic as well, I think, you know.
Exactly, yeah. And the lads are amazing, so it'll be really interactive and fun.
So October 12th at the Kino, it's a free event. Join us at 12:30 for Ask Audrey Live in association with Cork's Red FM. And for all of our other episodes, head over to redextra.ie. Thank you forever to Killian Pettit, who is, they say you shouldn't work with children or animals, but he works with us, which is actually kind of harder.
He talks when he sees us coming.
And he's never let us down. So thank you to Killian on production always, and to Cork's Red FM and all the team at redextra.ie.